Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 23. 23rd Psalm, page 609 in your Schofield Bible. We'll be reading all six verses. The fourth verse is the text verse for this morning's message. And of course, as most usually, we'll read the verses responsibly. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of this familiar passage? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, how good you've been to this church. Thank you for a great 1997. We come to this last Sunday of the year, praising thee for thy blessing, looking forward to that which you have in store for us in the new year. Thank you that all that 1997 has meant to us and all that 1998 will mean to us has had a solid and sure foundation upon thy word. We pray that you'd bless this service this morning, the preaching. Give us carefulness, please, to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I'm going to bring a praise message. I do not know how it's going to affect me when I bring it. I do not know if I will bring it in tears or bring it with shouts. I do not know. I want to speak this morning on the subject for those in the valley. Or I could say, praise God, he is with us and has been with us in the valley. The psalmist said, yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And here's my thought, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you to help me this morning to do justice to what I want to say and what I think ought to be said as we come to the last Sunday of an old year. Over 20,000 people have walked the aisles, these aisles, receiving the Savior since we met a year ago. Thank you for every victory, every blessing, every joy, yes, and every tear. Yes, and even every defeat that we've used to rebound, from which to rebound. Bless us now, please. Amen. This morning, I would like to, in a sense, relive 1997. I do not plan to go back and tell you what happened in 1997. I do not plan to make this a recapturing of all the blessings and so forth of 1997. But I would like to talk to you about 1997. Over 7,000 people have come through my office door to see me for advice or counseling for this in the last 12 months. I have seen your tears. I have felt your hurt. I have shared your burdens. I have tried to save your marriages. I've helped you to find the right mate. I've helped to rebuild your lives. I've counseled with your problem children. I've anointed you with oil when you were ill and prayed for God to heal you. I've advised you about your future and what I thought you ought to do. I've tried to comfort you when you lost a loved one. I've tried to salvage your teenagers when they were drifting away. I've prayed for your needs. I've helped you with your decisions. I've refereed your disputes. I've listened to your problems. I have tried to mend your broken lives and heal your broken hearts. And I have many cases I've tried to rebuild your shattered dreams. Nearly every person in this room today has been in the last year in some kind of a valley. I want to remind you that the greatest and last valley that we'll have to endure is the valley of the shadow of death. But yea, though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I live in a valley. Most of you, occasionally, someone that you know well passes away. And you minister to them. I live that way. Most of you, on occasion in the past year, have had someone come to you to share some kind of a burden. I've had that every day. I live in the valley. And one of the miracles of my life is how happy I am and how much I enjoy life and how much I laugh and how much I enjoy humor, because I literally live in the valley. This morning I want to address each of these valleys. The Bible gives us numbers of valleys, and I'd like to take each of these valleys, and I'd just like to praise God this morning that in every valley He's been with us. I come first this morning to the Valley of Kidron, K-I-D-R-O-N. The Valley of Kidron in the Bible is called now, it's now called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It's just outside the eastern gate. I can see it now at this house, and I stayed in that Intercontinental Hotel upon the Mount of Olives and looked down, could see beneath us the Garden of Gethsemane, and right under that garden, a big valley, and then above the valley was the eastern gate of the city, is the eastern gate of the city of Jerusalem. The Valley of Kidron is the Valley of Suffering. It is just outside the eastern gate between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. It was once the cemetery of the city. Absalom is buried there. Samson is buried there. Samuel is buried there. James is buried there. And the Valley of Kidron is the Valley of Suffering. Now may I stop and say that I have been there this year in the Valley of Suffering. And I want to praise God. He's always been there. I've been there alone. I've been there with Ms. Hiles. I've been there with you in the Valley of Suffering. As I close an old year of preaching and launch next week into a new year of preaching, I just want to look back over the last 52 weeks and thank God He has always been there in the Valley of Suffering. This morning, some of you are there. I cannot tell you it's not going to hurt. I cannot tell you how long it's going to last, but I can tell you, yea, though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. This morning, rejoice in the valley. He's there. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him. That's where you'll find Him. And you'll know Him by the nail prints in His hands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him. I'm simply saying, rejoice today. The Valley of Suffering, the Valley of Kidron, He's been there. And we've shared in my study and from this pulpit, we've buried your dead, we've married your young, we've prayed for your sick, we've visited your sick. Brother Colston has lived in the valley all year. I want to thank God today that He was there in the Valley of Suffering. Second valley I call your attention this morning in the Bible is the Valley of Elah. Now what was the Valley of Elah? The Valley of Elah was the valley where David heard Goliath's challenge. It was the valley where he challenged the Philistine champion. It was the valley where David took five smooth stones and placed one in a sling and hurled that stone toward the giant Goliath and felled the giant Goliath. It was the valley where the giant was killed with the same shot, may I say, the Valley of Battle. As I look back on 1997, I've been in that valley. I've been there alone. I've been there with Ms. Hiles. We've been there together, and I've been there with you. And I want to praise God today. He was always there.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of suffering, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of battles, I will fear no evil. Why? Thank God he's with me. That's why.
I've mentioned this before, and I hesitate to again. We're getting older. I am, as Hiles isn't. But we're getting older. And we sort of felt like maybe all the battles were over. I mean, the big battles. We knew we'd have some skirmishes. We took a group of people to Niagara Falls, preachers who won the contest in pastor school last year. We had a little, the theme of pastor school was marriage, and the preachers that brought the most and so forth, they won trips to Niagara Falls for second honeymoons, and they were their wives, and each with his own wife. We allowed one to bring one wife, that's all, and the rest had to stay home. But Ms. Howes calls me her best boyfriend. That's what she says. I got to get fixed breakfast for my best boyfriend. And she hadn't got any. Don't spread this stuff around the country now. But we were there in Niagara Falls, and we'd had a wonderful time, and the preachers all were having a good time. And it was about 5 minutes, I guess, or so, before we had to leave to go for a meal on Tuesday night. And we called, return call. And I called and found out it was in the Hammond Times, and that a dirty, stinking lawsuit was coming again. And yeah, we just thought it was all over. I mean, we thought those big battles like that were all over. And all of a sudden, front page in the Hammond Times the next Sunday, I guess it was, about the lawsuit, and we were plunged into it. And I'll be quite frank with you, we weren't very happy that night. We didn't cut up a great deal that night. We were alone an awful lot. And but I want to say this. I want to look back over the year, and I want to thank God in the valley of suffering, he was there. But I want to thank God in the valley of battles, he also was there. I remind you, he's with you today if you're in the valley of suffering. I remind you, if you're in the valley of battle today, he's with you. But the main purpose of my sermon is to stand up here and say, hallelujah, all year long. In the valley of suffering, he's been there. In the valley of battles, he's likewise been there. Very simple sermon. The third valley to which I call your attention this morning is the Valley of Eshcol. The Valley of Eshcol was the valley where the Jews camped as they decided whether or not to go into the Promised Land. That's the place from which they sent the 12 spies to view the land, to see if they could conquer the land. And the spies returned and said, it's a wonderful land. It flows with milk and honey. And they brought back samplings of the grapes of Eshcol, and they said, this is what it's like, but we can't go. And they voted 10-2 not to go in the Promised Land. And the play of the Valley of Eshcol is the Valley of Decision. This morning, some of you are in that valley. You're facing decisions today that will affect your entire life. Let me tell you, you have the availability of the Son of God to help you make those decisions. As I look back to 1997, a year of being in the Valley of Suffering, I say, hallelujah, he was there. As I look back to 1997 and see the valley of battles, I say, praise God, he was there. But as I look back to 1997, it's been a valley of decision for Ms. Howes and me. We have really wrestled this year. I'll be 72 my next birthday. And no pastor of a giant church like this has ever lasted longer than I've lasted as far as age is concerned. And We had some decisions to make. Should we maybe turn it over to somebody younger? Or what should we do? And we made some very serious decisions. I mean, I wrestled. For example, I decided this year not to travel every week. 40 years. I've traveled every Monday and Tuesday. 40 years. But I've decided if I'm going to last like I want to last, I can't travel as much. Now, I'm tickled to death. I don't want to travel every week. I'd like to never. I've seen the last motel room I want to see. I've seen the last airport I want to see. I've seen the last stupid airplane I want to see. But I wish you had to write 26 of your best friends and tell them you can't come this year. Man, you've been scheduled with for 3 years. They write back. and they're brokenhearted. Some of our graduates looking forward to having their pastor preach for them, and all of a sudden I've canceled out. I mean, it's been a year of decision for us, and many of you, you've had some serious decisions to make, and you're in the valley of decision today. Let me tell you, if you're in the valley of decision, you have omniscience with you in that valley to help you make that decision. And so as I look back today to 1997, I've been in the valley of suffering alone and with you, but He's been there. I've been in the valley of battle alone and with you, and He's been there. I've been in the valley of decision alone and with you, but thank God He's been there. I don't know of any better scripture. For Thou art with me. For Thou art with me. Or how about this? Lo, I am with you always. Or how about this? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I call your attention to valley number four. The valley of Siddim. S-I-D-D-I-M. The valley of Siddim, located on the very site which sat the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was the valley of those wicked cities that because of fornication and because of homosexuality, it was destroyed by God, and you mark it down. The God that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of all the queers that live there is still the God who reigns in heaven, and God doesn't lack homosexuality any more today than lacked it thousands of years ago. But I wake that boy up right there. Son, sit up. We're having church, and you need to hear what I'm putting. Take your head off your shoulder there and sit up and listen to me. You've got a whole life ahead of you. You need somebody to advise you about life. And you need... What is the valley of Siddim, the valley of sin? Let me say that I've been with you there too this year. I've sat in my office and counseled with your young when they wasted their lives. Every Saturday night at 5:30, I meet with one of our fine young men that grew up in this church. His mother's here this morning. He's here too. She came from out of state. She had some children, and she couldn't feed them, and I fed them. She couldn't send them to school, and I paid the tuition to go to school. And the boy grew up, and he left what he learned here. Went out into sin. Now, praise God, he's married. He's back, and he's doing a good job of serving God. But every Saturday night, I meet with him at 5:30, trying to salvage his life. You know what I'm talking about. Trying to salvage his life. You see, 360 days or so this year, all this year, I've lived with you in the valley of sorrow. Thank God he's been there. I've lived with you in the valley of suffering. Thank God he's been there. I've lived with you in the valley of battle, but thank God he's been there. I've lived with you in the valley of sin. I'm saying today, if you're out in sin, he's still there. If you're in the valley of sin right now, he says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he'll forgive every sin of your life today if you'll come to God and turn from your sins. The valley of sin. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As I look back this year, I was looking around this morning in the audience, all the people I've seen whose lives have been reclaimed this year. We've been together in the valley of suffering, and he was there. We've been together in the valley of battles, and he was there. We've been together in the valley of decision, and he was there. We've been together in the valley of sin. Though your sins were as scarlet, he was always there calling you back to himself. The fifth valley I called your attention this morning is the valley of Achor. What is the valley of Achor? That's the valley where Achan and his family were stoned because Achan had committed his awful sin. Achan had profaned the sacred things of God. For God said the city of Jericho was to be his, and Achan took some things from the treasury of God, as I taught the other night, and used them for himself, some silver, some gold, and a coat for his wife, and God chastened Achan. And I look back and I realize some of us have been together in the valley of chastening. God said to chasten you, and some of you in the valley right now. Some of you in the valley of suffering, and some in the valley of battles, and some in the valley of sin, and some in the valley of decision, and some in the valley of chastening. But I got news for you. The reason God chastens you is because God loves you. I mean, at times, have you looked at your children, and have we looked at ours? How many times I've said, Cindy, you go to your room now. And I've gone up to her room after she sat there for a while, and I'd sit down on the bed. And I'd say, Puddin', I don't want to do what I'm about to do. But what I'm about to do, I'm going to do because I love you. You know you've done something wrong. Yes, sir. What is it? And I'd make her tell me. I'd say, now, God's told me I've got to spank you, and I don't want to spank you because I love you. I never jerked our kids up and said, whack them, Uncle! That's what you call beating. But I said, Puddin', bend over now and pull your little dress up. Daddy's going to give you a spanking. And I'd touch her little bottom with my hand, and every time I'd hit it, the tear would drop out of my eye. And then after it's all over, I'd say, Puddin', do you know why Daddy did that? Tell me. She said, because you love me. That's why. I'd say, you sit here and think about what you've done. I'll let you leave after a while. Sometimes the Heavenly Father, as this year, has had to come down to us. The Heavenly Father's had to say, you've done something wrong, haven't you? And you said, yes, I have. The Heavenly Father says, I love you. I love you enough to chasten you. Because if I chasten you, I teach you that you to do it again will cause discomfort. You heard me tell this little simple story so often. Years ago, Ms. Howes and I had a little black cat. That little black cat, it was an idol at our house. I often told Ms. Howes, I wish she loved me half as much as she loved that cat. And she assured me that she did. Cute little black cat. We got that cat in the summertime. I would stand here in front of the mirror in the bathroom and I'd shave. And we had a little white stove that was right there, and the little cat would jump up on that stove. And that little cat would put his little paws up on the lavatory. And while I'd shave, that little cat would watch me shave. That was summertime. The first winter blast came. The little cat saw me shaving. The little cat jumped up on the stove, but something had happened to that stove. We had turned that stove on. The little cat jumped higher than the stove. Higher than the lavatory. Every time that little cat came around that stove, it never watched me shave again except from a distance. The cat would look at that stove, come around like this, and look at that stove, and then sway back here, look up and watch me shave. You see, the thing that saved that little cat's neck was the fact that that little cat got burned one time on that stove. And our Heavenly Father's had to come, and he's had to put some sting in punishment. Why? Because he loves you. And bless God, if you get by with sin without being punished, you mark it down. You're not a child of God. Hallelujah! For the valley of chastening. So if you look back in the past year, as we've shared together the valley of suffering, he's been there. We've shared the valley of battles. He's been there. We shared the valley of decision. He's been there. We shared the valley of sin. He's been there. We shared the valley of chastening. He's been there. And then now I come to my last valley this morning. I intended to go to some more, but I think I'll just stop with this one. Don't put your shoes on, ladies. I'm not through yet. The valley of Gehenna. The valley of Gehenna was the garbage dump of Jerusalem. The fire was always burning, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The fire was always burning. In fact, from that valley, you get the word hell. The word hell fire is the word Gehenna, cast into hell fire. Gehenna, into the garbage dump, for the fire is not quenched. And so I come in the valley of Gehenna to what I call the valley of death. It was late Christmas night. Presents were all opened. Jack and Cindy, Scott, and their children were gone. Miss Hiles said something to me that I've cut up an awful lot about it. She said, this has been a good Christmas. She said, who knows? It may be our last. Now, she wasn't being, yeah, she was too. No, she wasn't being morbid. She was simply saying, you know, now then, it's a joke at our house. I go eat breakfast and I say, enjoy it. It may be our last. Go to church. Let's enjoy church this morning. This may be our last. Now, I almost changed my sermon this morning. What I'm about to say. Years ago, a giant of a man who was, a Mississippi state trooper got called to preach. There was no Hiles Anderson College then. It's probably been 35 years ago. This great big old strapping fellow went to Tennessee Temple. While he was there, he heard me preach many times. When Dr. Robertson was there, I'd go down there many times a year. He graduated from Tennessee Temple and decided to start a church out in Seattle, Washington. Got all of his belongings together and took his family and they took off for Seattle. They got the little place out in the desert called Pasco, Washington, three cities there, all together called the Tri-City area, and got to Pasco, Washington. Got out of money. He just stopped and said, "Hey, can't get to Seattle, I'll start a church wherever I am." He started a church in Pasco, Washington. Big guy. Real he-man of a fella. A gruff kind of guy. You wouldn't think he liked you unless you knew him. Because he was always gruff. But hard as big as he was. I guess at one time he weighed almost 400 pounds. Came to pastor school one year. His church was in the JRB, Regular Baptist. Came to pastor school, got his heart on fire for God, learned how to organize a church. Went back home, walked up the next Sunday, and said to his people, they didn't vote to dissolve committees, he announced no more committees in this church. Just announced it. He said, the church is going to change, we voted 1-0, this is what's going to be from now on. Now that's not easy to say anywhere, but out there, they care. I promise you, if there are 500 men in that church this morning, 250 of them have guns. And the others have switchblade knives. It's strange. First time I was out to preach for him, I used an illustration about laying aside our weights, things that you not sinful, but they harm. There's some things that are not sinful I can't do. And I said, for example, let's suppose that you came to visit First Baptist Church of Hammond. You wanted to see Brother Hiles and see what he looked like, and you went out in the front of the church and you wanted to see him as he came, and all of a sudden, here I came driving up on a motorcycle. Leather jacket. Had big boots. Big helmet. Turtleneck shirt. Goggles on. I said, you'd be disappointed, wouldn't you? How many would be disappointed? I'd use that sermon across America. Everybody raised their hand. I said, is it sinful to have goggles? No. Sinful to wear boots? No. Sinful to wear a leather jacket? No. Sinful to wear a turtleneck sweatshirt? No. Sinful to wear a boot? No, no. But you wouldn't expect without. It's a weight that I've got to give up. I said, all across America, I'd say, how many would be surprised? And so what a shame. If you saw me that, but disappointed. Everybody raised their hand. But nobody did out there. I was at the Riverview Baptist Church, Pasco, Washington. I said, suppose you saw your pastor riding up on a motorcycle. I said, you'd be disappointed, wouldn't you? Raise your hand if you would. Nobody raised their hand. And everybody started laughing. After it was all over, the pastor said, Brother Hiles, I want to show you something. He took me out behind the church. He said, this is my staff parking lot. He said, that's my motorcycle. That's my assistant pastor. That's my youth director motorcycle. That's my wife's motorcycle. That's my secretary's motorcycle.
12 members of his staff, and there are 12 motorcycles. I found out that the guy goes soul winning on his motorcycle. Most unusual man you ever saw in your life. I preached for him 25 straight years. If you put a gun to my head and said you've got to pick out the preacher in America that is your, that would stick with you the longest. If I narrowed it down to 3, Dallas Dobson would be on that list. First time I was ever out there, he said,
"Well, House, I'm your friend."
He had the most dumbest way of saying he loved you. He never cried and said, "I love you.
I love you. I love you."
He said,
"You ever need me, you know where I am.
If I ever find out you need me, I'll be there." And I said again and again, if ever I got to the place to where I was at the bottom and only one of my preacher friends showed up, I would not be surprised to look up and see a big giant of a guy. Dallas Thompson. 5 hours and 12 minutes ago, he went to heaven. This morning, his church is meeting about now they're assembling. Their pastor's gone. Can you imagine how they feel? Only pastor they've ever had. He started the church. And they're meeting this morning. For the first time in the history of the church without their preacher. But I want to say this to them something. The Heavenly Father's out there right where they are. He's right where they are. This morning, are you in the valley of suffering? He's there. Are you in the valley of battle? He's there. Are you in the valley of decision? He's there. Are you in the valley of sin? He's there. Are you in the valley of chastening? He's there. Are you in the valley of death? He's there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The purpose of my sermon this morning is to look back at 1997 and say that I've lived with you in the valley. I understand, it's a big church. I can't be with all of you all the time. But I've lived. A lady walked into my office the other day and she didn't cry and she started leaving. I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Why?" I said, "You didn't cry." I said, "Everybody comes here and cries." Lady walked in a few years ago to my office. She'd been there a few times for counseling. She walked in and she said, "I've come from my sinus treatment." Started crying. She said, "Every time I see you, I cry." I don't know how to take that. But I spent a lot of time this week. I didn't travel this week, and I spent a lot of time thinking. And I praised God many times this week that in the valleys of suffering in 1997, He's been there. In the valley of battles, He's been there. In the valley of decision, He's been there. In the valley of sin, He's been there. In the valley of chastening, He's been there. In the valley of death, He's been there. He was at the funeral home when I talked to Charlie Vest and the family. He's been with us. The greatest church in the history of the United States of America. Up on top. See, we're so visible, everybody can see us. Everybody shoots at the guys on top. I never saw a little window about that big that I wanted to break. I never saw a big plate glass window I didn't want to throw a brick through. The same thing's true about I often said. Somebody said, "What's your favorite football team?" And I said, "The one playing Notre Dame." That's the one I pull for. Now, it's not because Notre Dame is so bad. It's because they've been on top so long.
And because we've been on top so long, for 23 years, we've had the largest Sunday school in the United States of America, or the largest Sunday school in the world. Because of that, we've seen some vanish. And I want to thank God in closing this morning. As I go back through the year, I want to thank God that in the valley of suffering, He was there. In the valley of battles, He was there. In the valley of decision, He was there. In the valley of sin, He was there. In the valley of chastening, He was there. And yes, as we've seen our own enter into the valley of the shadow of death, they need not fear any evil, for Thou art with me. Hallelujah. And He's with you today. If you're in the valley of suffering, He's there. If you're in the valley of battle, He's there. If you're in the valley of decision, He's there. If you're in the valley of sin, He's there. If you're in the valley of chastening, He's there. Or if you're nearing the valley of death, thank God, He's there. He's there. One last thought. There was a seventh valley in the Bible that has nothing to do with my sermon. It's called the Valley of Jezreel. The Valley of Jezreel was a valley that was right beneath the mount. There is beneath the Mount Megiddo. It is the valley where the armies will assemble for the great final battle before Jesus comes and puts down the Antichrist. It's the Valley of Jezreel, where the armies of Russia shall invade and come down on Palestine, and with them the armies of Egypt and Libya and the eastern Germany and Turkey will come down on little Palestine. In the Valley of Jezreel, they'll assemble there. And then all of a sudden, the Western powers, United States and England, and the Western Confederacy will come, and they likewise will assemble there in the Valley of Jezreel and fight against the Russian forces and the forces of the Northern Confederacy. And all of a sudden, they'll call for help from the East, and China and Japan will come to the Valley of Jezreel, and they'll come and fight against the Western forces. And all of a sudden, the great battle of the ages will take place, and the Antichrist shall win the battle and be victorious. And all of a sudden, the skies shall open, and Jesus shall come again, and establish His kingdom on earth. Thank God today. The Valley of Jezreel is the valley where our Lord Himself shall come and put down the Antichrist, and ascend the royal stair steps of Mount Zion, and Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does His successive journeys run. His kingdom shall spread from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Now we look forward to 1998. When you come to the Valley of Suffering, don't forget Brother Howe said, He's there. You come to the Valley of Battles, don't forget Brother Howe reminded you, He'll be there. You come to the Valley of Decision, He'll be there. You come to the Valley of Sin and leave God's will for your life, He'll be there. If you come to the Valley of Chastening and God has to spank you, He'll be there. If you come to the Valley of Death, He'll be there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of suffering, battles, decision, sin, chastening, or death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Hallelujah. Shall we pray together, please?